Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, beloved ones. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife Tarina Mwamba here in Dallas, Texas, broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio on the Mwamba World Outreach School of Ministry. We are here to bless the work of God. We are here to let you see that Jesus is risen from the dead. Now, I want to assure you with one thing, that God has a mandate. By mandate, I mean God has a plan and a program to liberate the whole world. And that plan was affixed in Jesus Christ. Jesus had to come. Jesus had to die for us on the cross. And when he did that, anyone who believed in him and the works that he did will have eternal life. It's almost 2,000 years ago since Jesus died on the cross. But the amazing thing is he rose again from the dead. Now, we don't hear of these other religions. Buddha is dead and the bones are still with us. Muhammad is dead and the bones are still with us. You know, Hinduism, Shintoism, Hare Krishnas, their founders are dead and the bones are still here on earth. But with Jesus, this is one significant thing that separates him from all these other prophets, false prophets. Jesus is alive. He died and then rose again from the dead. This is the Easter we are celebrating today. So, you know, we had a wonderful time at the church. God blessed us and we enjoyed ourselves. And now we want to bless you. We want to share the word of God with you. Today I'm going to share from the word of God in the book of John. We start to read from chapter number 20. My wife is going to read the scriptures. But what I want you to know is that the death of Jesus has had a significant impact, both going back before he even came to the earth and going forward to when he's going to come again at the second coming. So I want to encourage you. You need to know this one thing, that the Lord Jesus Christ came for a purpose, and that purpose was to save mankind. You know, I used to go to the Catholic Church for many years. My mother would always tell me, "Hey, Larry, let's go to church." And we'll go to church, and I remember when I was a kid, we have that penny, put it in the offering basket. You know, Zambia, because Zambia was a colony under the British government. And so we had British currency, pounds and pennies. And these pennies had a big hole, you know, in the middle. And so my mother would hand me these pennies, and we'd go for the service, and I would put them in the offering. You know, there was the time to offer. They call it tumutulo in Bemba, meaning and a time to offer. And so I never knew the truth. I started serving mass. I was serving mass with a priest. I was an altar boy. I wear all those garments for an altar boy, red skirt, white top, and a red collar. And I'll be there with the priest when the priest was dressing. Then we'll come out with the priest into the main service. I can assure you that the service itself had an impact, but I was young and I didn't know what was going on. And then we have what they call the walk of the cross, or the Gethsemane experience of Jesus, whereby you go from the course that Jesus took before he died. So we'll go from pillar to pillar and kneel before this cross, and the priest would go and elaborate on what happened at that particular time when Jesus suffered, you know, with the cross, and what happened, and asking for forgiveness and all that, and we'll go around the whole church. And there was this big cross in front of the altar where Jesus hanged there, the big, big cross. But, you know, it never hit me that this Jesus we were saving was alive. Never. Until when I was born again. As I've shared before, a friend of mine, a schoolmate of mine, shared about how she had no problems. I had a ton of problems, and to hear somebody talk about not having problems, it shocked me. And so there we were. I prayed in my room, and the power of God came upon me. I fell to the ground, and the hand went into me. I could see that hand go into me and put this black sheet out of me, and it went with a swish, whoops, and everything changed, and I could see clearly. So everything completely different. I looked at the wall. I was a musician. I had all these posters of musicians all over the wall. But that day, the 7th August 1977, when I was born again, I became a brand new person. And so began a walk of faith with the Lord. First, I didn't know, you know, I'll go back into the world still, go back to the clubs where I went, go back to drinking where I went, go back to the hotels where I went, thinking this thing will be over, but it was not over. The hand of the Lord was upon my life. Then I got baptized on 8th August 1978. I got baptized in water by Les White. After the baptism in water, you know, I thought this thing will go off. You know, that's how it is with the Christian faith. You think, oh, this thing will go off. This thing, it never went off. And after I got baptized, during my baptism, people were arguing about the Pentecostals because Pentecostals spoke in tongues. And me, I didn't know what was going on. I mean, I was new to this thing. And here I was baptized by Les White. A co-worker of mine is a British guy, a white guy from Britain. And he was my co-worker. He was a section engineer. I was a foreman. I had a big position, too. But there we were, you know, he baptized me in water. I never knew he was such a Christian until I started going to the chapel where I lived in this exclusive area in Parklands. Had a beautiful, beautiful condo, as it were, and it was exclusive, very quiet, well-maintained place. Then when I got baptized on December 8th, 1980, God visited me by the power of the Holy Spirit. No, actually, I got baptized on 8th August 1979. On December 8th, 1980, the power of God fell on me as I was getting ready to go to work, and I spoke in tongues, something I never knew what it was. Then I saw in a vision how God was going to send me around the world. This was such an amazing experience. God showed me I was going to go to Europe. I was going to come to the United States. I was going to preach all over Africa. And, you know, when this happened, I started telling people, say, hey, listen, God is sending me abroad. God is sending me to the United States. God is sending me to Europe. Nobody would believe me. Say, hey, Larry, how are you going to pay? How are you going to buy the air ticket? But you know what? When God has called you, that's what makes the difference. And so all of a sudden, after, you know, can you imagine? I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit, with evidence of speaking in other tongues, and I didn't know what the tongues were. I had to go looking around and asking from church to church to find out exactly what had happened to me. Until a Pentecostal preacher, Pastor Gary Skinner from Canada, at the Pentecostal Assemblies of God in Parklands, Kitwe, Zambia, told me, you, brother, have been filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Man, in those days, got hooked up with Nevis Mumba. I started going for overnight prayer meetings. I started getting engaged in I Found It campaign. I was so zealous for the Lord. To the extent that my office was full of pamphlets, my big bosses came to me and said, hey, you are just going over the bar. This is too much. You don't do stuff like this. I was asking for making of a pulpit for the church and asking for material from the company. The personal manager called me, says, we are getting a report that you are having such a heavy involvement in church and it's affecting your job. What's going on? I was so zealous. Until the other section engineer, who was also a Christian, I didn't know he was another guy from England. He said, Larry, I'm going to help you, and transferred me to what they call the southern area. And I was boss of the whole southern area, Luansha and Indola included. These were big substations which I was in charge of. But the call of God was so heavy on me. I started doing prison ministry. I started going to hospitals, praying for patients, prison ministry. until finally the power of God was so great and the call so heavy on my life that I had to resign my job. And in January of 1984, I left for Nigeria to go study at All Nations for Christ Bible Institute for 2 years under Archbishop Ida Hossa. This man was a great man of God, having been used of God so mightily, built buildings in Bible school with students from all over Africa. And there I was. I did my 1 year. In the second year, I was a senior school prefect. And we did exploits, having crusades from city to city to city. We had Reynard Bonnke come. We had Kenneth Copeland come. We had Richard Roberts come. We had Frederick Price come. We had all these big, mighty men of God, T.L. Osborne come. I was so blessed and touched by the power of God as the Lord ministered by His Holy Spirit. Well, I graduated with an Associate of Arts degree, and I was ordained to the ministry by the Archbishop. And when I left Nigeria to come back to Zambia, I founded the Pentecostal Believers Church of God in Luansha. Started with 6 people and grew the church to 300 members. And the church is running. But then the call of God was so great. I started a Bible school there in Zambia, began it in my home, then got 5 acres of land, built a Bible college property and church building. And I was on television, and then I was on radio broadcasting to over 2.5 million people. And I traveled to Europe. I've been to London. I preached in London, I preached in South Wales. I preached in Cardiff, in Port Talbot. I preached all over Europe. I've been to the Scandinavian countries, in Sweden. I preached in Vergada, in Kumla, in Heine, in Alingsås. I've been to the Netherlands, preached in Amsterdam. I've been to Utrecht. I've been to Emelo. They are in the Netherlands. Then God opened doors for me to the United States. I crisscrossed the United States, preached in New York, in the Bronx, been to Queens, preached in Staten Island, preached in Brooklyn, taught at this drug rehabilitation center, been to Tulsa, ministered greatly in Tulsa, moved over to St. Louis, Missouri, preached there, Crystal City, Aeolia, Missouri, went to Atlanta, Georgia, ministered in Atlanta, big meetings, North Carolina, Fort Lauderdale, moved Washington, D.C., I combed all the area, Maryland, I've been all over there, Queens. God bless me by the power of the Holy Ghost. And you know, once the hand of the Lord is upon your life, you cannot avoid it. You have to be instant, in season and out of season. So today, we are celebrating the life of Christ, for that He rose from the dead. At this moment in time, my wife is going to read the subject, the scriptures from the Bible, from the book of John, and chapter number 20. Start reading from verse number 20, verse 1 to 20. Here, there's some reading glasses. And so, just get ready as I read. My wife is getting ready here. She's going to read the rest of the passage. Okay, we're looking at the book of John and chapter number 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scriptures, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. Now, here we have a special account. What we are seeing here, we are seeing the end of the ministry of Jesus on the earth. You know, he had healed Mary Magdalene of seven devils that came out of her. Some demons came out of Mary Magdalene. Okay. I think there were seven or something. Okay. And after that, she was attached to the Lord. She became committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the ministry of Jesus continued. He healed blind eyes, opened blind eyes. He healed those with leprosy. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He did many, many miracles. And many believed in him. But Jesus continued telling the disciples that he was going to die, and that although he was going to die, he would be buried, but on the third day he was going to rise again from the dead. But they never seemed to believe what Jesus was saying, or maybe it was just like a story. You see, many times when people are talking to you and telling you things, you think they are joking or they are playing games. You know, like they will say, you know what, me, I want to start a business. You know, me, I want to do this. But when the people are talking to us like that, you feel like it's a joke. Somebody might say, you know, I'm going to buy an aeroplane. Oh, I'm going to buy a big house, a mansion. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to buy a boat. Sometimes, you know, when people talk to us in those terms, we think they are maybe, it sounds like music in our ears. We tend not to believe it. But we see when it happens, that's when we remember, say, oh, they said this and that, this and that. I remember when I was in Zambia with my church there, I used to take time with the members. I used to explain things. I was in Bible school classes with them. I told them one day, I said, you know, not one day, many times I would say, you guys, many times you miss. When I'm doing Bible study, you come. Sometimes you miss and all that stuff. You have excuses with your job and whatever it is. I said, you know, some of you are so close, you get to me to the office, we spend time, we talk about the scriptures, and I come here and I teach you on the leaders course on Mondays. I said, you know, such a time is going to be gone, because you're going to look around and there'll be nobody to teach you, I said. You know, I was talking because I knew I was going to, you know, God was going to move me on to come to Bible school, and, you know. So to them it was like a music in their ears. But the day that came and I left for seminary, that's when now their heads opened and said, oh, what he said was the truth. Oh, what he said. I stopped on verse number 10. So you start reading from verse number 11. So this was what he was. And many people took it for granted. You see, there are things in life we take for granted. When people are telling us things, we think it's a joke. When somebody's saying something, but when it happens, then we say, oh, that's what they said. The same thing happened with Jesus. He kept telling the disciples, I'm going to be dead. I'm going to be killed by these crazy people. But on the third day, I'll rise again, and I'll meet you in Galilee. Now, that's the same thing goes even with the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we know the Lord is going to come. Finally, he's going to come to earth in the second coming. And many, many of us, we take it like a song. And, you know, we know that the world will end. You know what I'm saying? And mainly the world ends with somebody when they die. The world ends. They go on. I was reading in the Time magazine on David Bowie. David Bowie, those who know him, is a great musician. He was married to, he's a white guy, a great musician, a legendary musician. He died this year. He's married to a certain lady who is a model, an African woman. And David Bowie, they were talking about, one guy was describing how David Bowie was and his days when he was aging. He said, you know, there are things which I wanted to do. Now I can't do them anymore. They asked him, why? He says, no, because my body can't allow me. But you see, I've come to accept it. I've come to accept that some of the activities I used to do when I was younger, I cannot do anymore. But he said, this one thing I cannot accept, death. He couldn't accept death. And I was listening, because, you know, David Bowie was not born again. David Bowie was a worldly musician. And here he is, afraid of death. He says, this is something, he says he has thought about it. He's thought about the, after the grave, where the people go. He says he's thought and thought about it, and it still blows his mind. He can't compute and accept it. Now me, you know, I'm a minister of the gospel. I've come to terms with death. I'm not afraid of death. I know, because death is a gateway for me to go and see the Lord. It's when you are not ready. When you are not ready to meet the Master, yes, you'll be afraid of death, because you know you're going to face him the next day or the same day. In fact, it's instant. And so I saw David Bowie, where I was coming from. And I was thinking, many people in the world today who are not Christians, they are scared of dying. They are scared of death because they are not ready. But you see, Jesus talked about it like it was just a story. I'm going to die and I'm rise again. You see what I'm saying? There was no fear in him. You see, Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We need to have peace about our transition. There is no way you and me are going to transition into the other world without passing through the gates of death. We have to. But this must be a settled issue. Know that as a child of God, you're going to see the Lord. Just as the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, you and me are going to rise from the dead. Okay? Well, let me see if my wife is ready to read some scriptures here for us. Here is the microphone. You got your mic? Yeah, here. No, there. You can just use it right there. You just need to hold it to your mouth, close to your mouth, one side. Okay.
Verse 10. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God."
Amen. Well, you see, this was now Mary Magdalene. After she had told the disciples about the missing body of Jesus and what the angel had said to her, because the Bible here, when he went and talked to Peter and John, they came running towards the grave where Jesus was buried. In verse 9 on John chapter 20 says, "For as yet they knew not the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead." Then the disciples went away again unto their own house. Now, see, that's where you see the difference with them and Mary Magdalene. These two guys, Peter and John, did not take time to wait and see what has happened to the body of Jesus. You see? But Mary hung around the grave. You see, people who hang around with the things of God, people who hang around in the Word of God, people who are hang around in the church, in fellowships, are the ones who see Jesus. You see, Peter and James, I'm not saying Peter and John were not godly. They were. But you see, these were disciples who moved with the Lord. They were with him 24/7. But they did not take time to look around and see, okay, what happened to the body? What exactly went on? But the Bible says, then the disciples went away again into their own home. Verse 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. She was still there. Learn to hang around with the things of God a little bit more. And seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she has that said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. You see, when you are seeking God, the Lord is going to appear to you. And when God sometimes starts to work things in your life, giving you a new job, giving you a new home, healing you like he has healed me on my cheek. It's another story I'll come and explain later. You would not sometimes recognize that these things being done are being done by Jesus. Jesus was standing right next to her, but she didn't even recognize him. This means there are things in your life that are happening even right now, and you don't even know that it's the Lord doing it. Let's learn to linger. Let's learn when we see things moving and happening, let's know who is doing it. It is Jesus. Finally, Jesus says unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She knows her. She's asking her. She says, woman, why weepest thou? Listen, beloved one, that's what the Lord does. When he sees you lingering and you are kind of like lost, he's going to call your name. Larry or Tarina or whosoever, why weepest thou? Why are you crying over the bad things maybe that have occurred in your life? God is going to change that situation just like he rose from the dead. Amen. Well, we'll speak to you again. In the meantime, be blessed and celebrate well this Easter. God bless you and bye-bye.